Welcome to the Katie Bulmer Cook Podcast Show. Fitness, workouts, nutrition, business, interviews, entrepreneurship, and of course, plenty of northern banter. Here she is, your host, Katie Bulmer Cook.
Hi everyone and welcome to the latest edition of my podcast. Thank you so much for all the feedback you've been sending us on Facebook and Twitter. It's great to hear from you and find out what you want to ask, what guests you want on the show. And speaking of guests, I've got a fantastic guest for you on this episode. I've got the lovely Lily Rice of Lexi Sport. So hi Lily, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Hiya, thank you for having me.
I'm really excited to have Lily on the show because I watched Lily on a BBC Three documentary all about entrepreneurship and business, which everyone who listens knows I'm really into and really interested in. So, Lily, can you give us a little bit of background on you and give us some information on how it was being on the show and how you started?
Yeah, sure. So I kind of began my education at Central St Martins. I kind of had this real passion for design and fashion. And from there, I'd always taken part in sport and something just wasn't really gelling in the fashion. I kind of was like, oh, I want to do something more than this. And I was really lucky and they created the performance sportswear design degree just at the point where I was about to start. So I was able to really specialise in sportswear from like quite an early stage and I really felt that was what I wanted to do. I knew that there was, you know, this massive gap in the market for the type of clothes I wanted to wear and I just couldn't get them anywhere. So when I finished my degree, I worked in Sri Lanka. I then went on to work for Umbro, but a lot of it was still menswear. And I was kind of like, I really want to do womenswear. And then the opportunity came up for the BBC Three show, Be Your Own Boss. And the premise of the show was that Richard Reed, who was a founder at Innocent Smoothies, he wanted to invest in some entrepreneurs, whether you were kind of in a business or you had a business idea. And I sort of like applied on a total whim of like, oh, okay, I'll just apply, I'll never get it. And then got on the show and I sort of had this, like this, I knew what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to do like awesome women's sportswear. I knew that I wanted to target it at kind of women like me, my age. And I knew that, you know, I just didn't want to do pink and it needed to be something different. And so we got onto the show and it was a really intense process. I'd never done TV and I'd never had like ambitions to do TV. So it was a total kind of baptism of fire, but it was a really awesome experience. I got to work with Richard a lot and, you know, it was a great outcome for us because he eventually came on board as a investor. So he's still really involved in the Lexi journey and he's really passionate and, you know, it was great because part of the reason I applied for that show rather than others was that I felt Richard shared a lot of kind of my ethos and my kind of ambitions. So it was a really great process, if a little bit scary and not for the faint-hearted to see yourself in HD, but, you know. So, yeah, that was it. 2 years ago now we filmed that, so, yeah.
So what's changed since then, Lily? How has the collection developed? What's different about Lexi now than back then 2 years ago when you first met Richard Reed?
So we filmed in the summer of 2012, so right when the Olympics was going on. It screened in the September. And then kind of what you don't see on like these programmes and things like Dragon's Den is that you have a period of due diligence. So like just because they offer you the investment doesn't mean you get it. You have to do quite a long period of backing up what you've claimed and checking each other out. So that went on until February 2013. And then we had that period from then until August when it was kind of really working on the business and the collection. And we launched Lexi in August 2013. So we're literally just coming up for our first birthday. Feel free to send presents, cakes, all welcome. So the first collection we launched with was called the Icon Collection. And that was the collection we showed on the TV show. But this was made abroad. And what we found was that we really wanted to reshore our production. So since launching, we've actually brought all our manufacturing back to the UK. So we now get it made over here. Everything apart from our power mesh is in the UK. And our power mesh is European. So that's really changed the business quite a lot. It means that we've got great control on our quality. It means we can change our designs really quickly. And we're really in, you know, on the factory floor if we need to be. So it's made a massive difference to the business. And it just means that, you know, if we're on Twitter and someone tweets us and says, you know, I wish you did this, or why doesn't this have this, we can really make those changes quickly and efficiently and get, you know, you guys exactly what you want in regards to the product. So that's been a major milestone for us.
Yeah. I have to say, as someone who has several Lexi items, that they are really amazing quality. And I absolutely love them. My hoodie is my standout favourite piece. So what about for the next 12 months, Lily? Going from where you are now to the second birthday of the company, what are your plans?
Well, we've got a lot of exciting things happening. I mean, obviously, we've just changed our manufacturing, so we're kind of continuing to work with them, expand our manufacturing in the UK. We've got a new collection going to be launched hopefully at the end of this year. So we're kind of working on that at the moment and kind of working on next year's collections as well. And it's really important to us. Like, we definitely have a kind of point of view that I think makes Lexi different to other brands. And it's kind of, how do you keep that point of view but keep moving the brand forward? So that's something that's really important to us, kind of making sure that we're always really Lexi and not getting drawn into following trends and things. Mm. And then aside from that, something that's really important to us is kind of, we've expanded. When we launched, we had one retailer. We've now got 11. So we've grown quite a lot, and we're kind of just in talks with some national and international retailers. So hopefully getting the product kind of more visible to the day-to-day consumer, probably like not the guys that listen to your podcast, because I'm sure they follow you really intently, but you know, the everyday person on the street who maybe hasn't seen us yet.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, that's amazing. That's brilliant growth, 11 retailers.
Yeah, it's been quite a quick journey, and yeah, quite a steep learning curve as well.
What about the pop-up shop, Lily? Because that was a big success, wasn't it?
Yeah, so we launched with a pop-up, and it worked really well for us, and it's something that we really liked. Like I was saying earlier, you know, on the social media and people talk to us, but also when you're in a pop-up shop, you really get to see, you know, the customers try things on, the customers give you proper feedback then and there, especially if they don't know that I design it. So if I'm in the shop and they don't know, they'll be like, oh, I love this and I wish it had that straight away, and then I can literally go back and add things and change things. So we did a pop-up shop then. We had an amazing pop-up shop at Box Park in Shoreditch, which if you've never been there, try and pop down, because it's constantly changing and it's all about kind of funky, cool new retailers. So we did that, and that was really great. And then we've been doing a lot of kind of evening events where we'll pop up for one night or a couple of nights, throw on a class, invite some guests and do that. And then we had a pop-up for 3 weeks in House of Fraser on Oxford Street. So we were in Europe's busiest shopping street.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was really crazy. We did some amazing fitness flash mobs as well, which were awesome. So yeah, that was definitely a really surreal thing to be doing kind of in our first year. It was like, oh, okay, we're in House of Fraser, but it went really well. And you know, we really enjoyed the experience.
That's amazing. Congratulations. So Lily, obviously you started out as a pretty much a one-man band, and
yeah,
from what you told us, I would imagine that is changed quite significantly. And you know, I know what it's like working for yourself. Sometimes it's hard to keep work and personal life separate and have a life. So how do you do it? Well, first of all, do you have a good work-life balance? And if you do, then what's your secret?
I think when you start your own business, as you probably know, it's probably because it's something that's your passion. So it's really difficult to separate your work and your life, mostly because I'm really passionate about Lexi and it's, you know, what I want to do. So it can be really tricky. I think trying to schedule things in, like, I know one of the best tips is, like, you know, always scheduling your workouts in as if they were a meeting, and like you can't change it, like you can't change meetings. So kind of putting that into your diary and making space, that's a really kind of good tip. we do boot camp, and it's on like a Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. So I always know that Tuesday, Saturday, and Thursday is like I'm going to have to go to boot camp. And just kind of like I think getting people around you that are really supportive. Like my husband, I mean, he jokes that I'm always on my phone, but he's so supportive. And I mean, if you know we have to reschedule around Lexi, we do, and then we like kind of fit in other times when you know I'm definitely not working and stuff like that. So I definitely think it's tricky. I welcome tips from other people. But I think if you're really enjoying it as I am, it's kind of one of those things where you don't mind so much.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. I don't find listening to, you know, if I listen to other podcasts, if I listen to audiobooks, if I read magazines that do with fitness, I don't ever feel like it's work.
Yeah.
It just all kind of blurs into one, doesn't it?
Definitely, definitely. And it's that as well. It's like podcasts are great because you can listen to them, you know, if you're in the gym and you're on a treadmill or like for me, I travel a lot. So like traveling to meetings, perfect. Just pop on a podcast and then I can, you know, get inspired about other people. But then I guess technically you're working when you should be, you know, I don't know, I guess it all blurs together.
I think when it's something that you love, it doesn't matter, does it?
No, exactly.
So as a, if you were to give advice to anybody else who was a young entrepreneur trying to get their business off the ground, what would be your key bits of advice? If they could take those things away and do them right now, what would those things be?
So a young entrepreneur, I think, again, like making sure what you're doing is something that you're really passionate about is the first thing, because like we've said, like it becomes your life. And so if you don't totally love it, then you're probably going to give up a lot earlier than if you did love it. And surrounding yourself with people that will support you, because although like there's only me in the business to start with, your family and your friends become your team. And it's even more important if it is just you and not like a set of founders. So finding those people to support your journey, networking, finding more people. You know, recently we threw an event. We worked with a woman that's just set up a really awesome yoga kind of experience, so we got her in to promote her. And then I'd met a load of other female young entrepreneurs who did different kind of products, so an awesome kind of skincare range, and someone that did kind of candles that were organic. And we were like, look, we're in this massive event, like get on board, and kind of supporting each other. And that's what makes the journey much more enjoyable, you know, getting that team of people around you, so that you know when you have a really bad day, there's someone that you can turn to, is probably my most important thing.
Lily, you touched on there about other women in business. Do you have anybody that you look up to, like a real role model that you think, you know, if she can do it, I can do it, I would love to be more like this person?
Oh yeah, massively. I'm always looking at kind of women that are, you know, way ahead in their journey. Mm-hmm. So Sarah Blakely, who invented Spanx, she's amazing. If you're thinking of starting up a business, get on YouTube, and there's quite a few videos where she talks about it, but there's some awesome videos where she talks about the beginning of her journey and how you know, she just started with nothing and basically kind of blagged a load of it and was so persistent. So if you're having a really bad day, she's super inspiring. And then there's people like Jacqueline Gold, who's kind of at the top of Ann Summers and really changed that around. I've heard her speak before. And then there's just loads of women out there, I think, you know, there's yourself and just kind of, you know, lots of people you connect with on Twitter and stuff that you can just find really inspiring. And, you know, whatever level people are at, it's more about the journey. So, yeah, and I definitely think it's important. Female entrepreneurs have a different challenge, and I'm not saying it's harder or easier, but it's definitely different. And a lot of the time, you know, men won't necessarily always understand the challenges. So it's important to have female role models.
I couldn't agree with you more. Couldn't agree with you more. Just touching on, I know you mentioned looking on YouTube. Is there anything that you, any books that you've read, anything you're reading currently, any audio books that you're listening to that are particularly inspiring?
I read Sheryl Sandberg's Lean In, and that was great. I think it's a really controversial book, and I think you take from it what you want to. obviously it's American, and so there's some differences, but I think that's really great. And I've also just finished Girl Boss by Sophie, I think it's Amoruso, I can't pronounce the second name.
Girl Boss, I like the sound of that.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's like, you have to search hashtag Girl Boss, that's the full title. And she is a fashion startup founder who's now massive in the States. I mean, we don't so much have her brand over here, but they're huge in the States. And she literally started from eBay, packing, you know, stuff in her bedroom. And that was a really inspiring book. And then I also have, kicking around in the office quite a lot, is the Innocent story of Innocent Smoothies. And obviously that's close to our heart, but again, another really inspiring story of kind of perseverance. And I like to take like little tidbits from all of them as little guides. And then every month I really enjoy Psychology's magazine as well. I think that's a great magazine for women. It's quite like, it's more an, I think, an intellectual magazine than, you know, because we read a lot of fashion magazines. Sometimes it's nice to have something that's got quite a lot of articles in and stuff, so that's great.
So, Lily, what about you personally? What do you like doing when it comes to health and fitness? What exercise do you do? I know you mentioned boot camp, but how often do you work out? And what are your personal fitness goals?
Yeah, I love boot camp. I, like, hated it the first time I went. I was like, I don't understand why this man is shouting at me and I'm paying for it. But no, we really enjoy it. We go to, it's called Gurkha Fit, actually, and it's run by a load of ex-Gurkha PTIs, so that's really good. And it's just, what I love is it's different every session, so that's really great. And then I'm also at Cycle quite a lot. I never thought I'd be like, you know, these women that are like, oh my god, you have to try spinning, spinning's amazing. And I thought, yeah. And then love Cycle, really gets you amped, and it's great for me because their classes really fit in with kind of my meetings and stuff, so I sort of like schedule a Cycle session between meetings. And then running, I love to, like, running's great just to clear your head. I don't take my phone, so I'm basically like, I'm out of it, so no one can get me, so that's great. And then kind of goal wise I kind of try and set myself little targets for my running, and I did a half marathon and I've yet to do a marathon, so I think that'll probably be the next thing. But it's just tricky to schedule in, you know, kind of the sort of training you need for that around the business.
It's like a full-time job training for a marathon, isn't it?
I think the problem for me is that with the business, we get such great opportunities just literally come out of nowhere. And a marathon is such a fixed date, you know, like you get your date and then you have to do kind of certain miles by certain times. And like for us, like when we, for example, at the beginning of the year, I was going to boot camp three times a week, really enjoying it. And then we got the House of Fraser pop up and I had to be in London every day for 3 weeks, just totally throughout my entire schedule. And I kind of feel like I don't want to commit to, you know, to doing a marathon if I can't completely do my best. I'm pretty competitive with myself.
So have you tried, is it Voga?
Yes.
Have you tried that?
So, yeah, we held a Voga event this week. It was amazing. It's basically like a fusion of dance and yoga. But what I really love about it is Juliet, who takes it, she's just the most awesome person. Like, you know, when they say, you know, a bundle of energy, she is just, oh my God, she's so energetic, so enthusiastic about her, like, her vision, that she really takes you on a journey. So yeah, we had an event, but it's all about the music, and we had a nightmare with the iPod. So I'm hoping to do another session that's like pure Voga, rather than me trying to find the tracks on the iPod every time, because we had like a technical hitch, and Steve Jobs hated me that night. I think that's what happened.
Is when I saw that on Instagram, it looked so cool. Like, some of the pictures were like, all the women in the class were actually voguing.
Yeah. I mean, so totally cool. Get your moves going, throw in some shapes. I hope that everyone took them back to the office the next day. They're awesome. Definitely what you want to do, like, on a Friday before you hit the clubs.
Yeah, I think that needs to definitely not be just a London-based thing. It needs to make its way up to the northeast because it looked amazing.
Oh, I think we should tweet her and let her know. And then maybe you can get trained as a Voga instructor. Maybe that can be like another string to your bow, you know.
What's her name?
Juliet Morrill, and it's House of Voga.
House of Voga, that is such a cool name. I'm definitely going to tweet at my sister wants to come on the podcast. My next question is, as someone who takes part in health and fitness, what do you look for in a really good fitness professional, in your trainer, in your coach, in your instructor?
For me, I love sport, but I'm slightly reluctant. I'm like one of these people that, like, I really enjoy it when I'm doing it, and I really enjoy it when I finish, but, like, convincing myself that I really should do it is the bit I struggle with, which is why I feel like good sportswear convinces me a lot more. So I think for me, an instructor has to be someone I like and I get along with. I'm not, you know, I don't really want people that are, like, super shouty, and I don't want people that are super kind of, you know, obviously you have to be serious to a degree, because otherwise you can injure yourself, but people that can have a giggle while you're doing it, I really enjoy. You know, if they've got a great set of tunes, that really motivates me as well. I really enjoy, like, good music while I'm doing it. And someone that can mix it up as well. I'm quite injury prone, so if I work with kind of a personal trainer or something, someone that, you know, we can do different things at different times if I've kind of, you know, injured something or whatever. So yeah, I guess it's flexibility as well. And I don't really have a preference over whether I have a male or a female. I think it just depends on what you're doing. Different classes, you know, are good mixing it up that way.
Yeah. Cool. So what do you predict? Well, firstly, for the fitness industry in the next 12 months, because you've seen a lot of up-and-coming concepts like Voga. What do you predict for the fitness industry for the next year?
I mean, there's been a massive growth, like, since the Olympics and stuff. I think, you know, the mainstream magazines, they've all now got health and fitness pages. But interestingly, like, we saw the Loss Obsessed magazine, like, you know, that no longer exists and things. So I think it's more now becoming that health and fitness is into the mainstream rather than a separate sector on its own. I think that kind of, you know, personal trainers and fitness experts are going to become, you know, new celebrities. We've already kind of seen how reality TV stars obviously try and become fitness experts. I definitely think, you know, the fitness experts themselves are going to become more prominent. And, you know, what's really interesting to me is kind of the whole rise of things like SoulCycle and Cycle. You know, I saw something the other day where it's saying, like, you know, my friends that used to meet for drinks, now they meet for spin class. I think that's going to become more of a thing, so that it's a lot more social to kind of go to a personal training session together or go to a class. And, you know, the interest that people now have in kind of workout wear. I mean, the Beckhams are endlessly being photographed coming out of SoulCycle in their kit. People want to know what they're wearing. The rise of the Skinny Bitch Collective, you know, that people are really interested because they've got such a celebrity clientele. So I definitely think, you know, it's going to become a lot more cool to be, you know, strong, not skinny, and all this stuff. And so I think we'll have a lot more interesting businesses and entrepreneurs coming up in the kind of health and fitness sector. So, I mean, if you've got an idea and you're thinking of launching a business, I definitely reckon now is a great time to launch.
And 100% agree with that, Lily. So many more people are taking an interest in their fitness, in their health, in being more active, whether it's because it's more in the media or whether it's on the back of the Olympics. But just touching on what you said about how people are more into strong than skinny, I've really noticed that. I would say 2 years ago, people were coming to me saying, can you make us a size 6? Can you make us a size 8? And people just wanted to be slim. But now girls are coming to us and saying, I need guns, I need abs, I need a bum. And people's requirements and people's perception of the perfect body now has shifted massively.
Yeah, and I think that's, like, really important and really brilliant. I mean, there is no point, like, comparing yourself to someone with a totally different body shape to you, because it's unattainable. And, you know, whereas strong is a lot more attainable than skinny for a lot of women. And I mean, I work with a lot of models, and let me tell you, they are literally like the 0.01% of the population. I mean, they are just different to, you know, a normal girl. A lot of the fashion models, they have a different genetic makeup. They literally are. And that's why they are chosen to do that job. So having young girls look at fashion models and say, oh, I want to look like that, you know, it's not realistic. That girl's always looked like that. And yeah, she's been photoshopped. But, you know, the photoshop for a fashion model is, you know, generally like an add-on rather than, they don't need it. It's just an extra. So I think it's really important that women are understanding that, you know, it's about their own body and being strong in their own body rather than reaching, like you said, a 6 or an 8. It's not necessarily realistic for everyone.
And being the best version of yourself, doing the best you can with your genetics rather than trying to copy someone else's.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you know, people come in and out of fashion, things come in and out of fashion, and it's like, you know, back in the 90s, we all wanted to be a Spice Girl or an Allsaint, and, you know, what's the point? You know, they come in and out of fashion, and better to be yourself and be a success of who you are rather than trying to copy someone else.
So what do you think is the future or the next 12 months for the fitness fashion industry?
I think that there are a lot of awesome new brands coming up, which is great. I personally think it's great to support other brands and to be in it together. You know, there's people's workout wardrobes. Like we said, people are working out more. You know, the more options you've got, the better. You know, I think it's brilliant that we've got the facilities to make this stuff in Britain and really support our economy, being really aware of where our clothing comes from. And I think it's just going to be a case of giving women more options. So in the next 12 months, I think, you know, we'll have new collections. There'll be a lot more choice. And that'll be great. That'll be really, you know, really inspiring, I think, for a lot of women. For me, definitely, I find it inspiring to have, you know, cool new sportswear and things.
I've really noticed that clients of mine now are really taking an interest in what brands are out there and putting together outfits for your workout. I think, you know, maybe, what, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, people would just chuck on some joggers and a T-shirt because they were just going to work out. But it's not like that now, is it? It's, do your trainers match your top? Does your sports bra match your laces? Everything. People take such a big interest in putting together an actual outfit to go
and work out. But then I guess if it's becoming the fashion, like we were saying, to, you know, you meet your friends at class rather than at a cafe. Or even, like, I know a lot of people, you know, we meet for meetings and then go to a class, or we go to a class and then have a meeting afterwards. You know, I think it's important that your clothes are fluid and can take you from one to the other. And that means not, like, sweaty jogging bottoms and, you know, a tracky top. I think it's, you know, you want to look good. And why not? Like, you're investing time into yourself. Why not make yourself feel as good as you can while you're doing that? And if that's through sportswear, that's great. But equally, you know, through your choice of class, your choice of personal trainer. You know, I think it's, yeah, definitely something, a change that's been happening, and a change that will continue to happen for the next 12 months, definitely.
Yeah. I'm over the moon because I'm rubbish at putting an outfit together that isn't fitness related. I look the most horrendous person if someone asks us to go on a night out, but if you ask us to go to the gym, I look, you know, totally respectable.
But that's fine. Maybe it's just start wearing your leggings out. Everyone always says that to me. They're like, can I wear these leggings out? And I'm like, well, I do, so go for it.
Yeah. The black with the mesh in, definitely a transferable to a night out.
Definitely. They look awesome. I wear mine with heels. They look good.
I do. So Lily, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Brilliant answers to all of the questions that I've had for you. If people want to find more about you and more about Lexi, where can they do that?
So our website is lexisport.co.uk, and our kind of Twitter and our Instagram are all at lexisport, so it's L-E-X-I-E. And you can contact us through the website, you can tweet us, we're also on Facebook, you know, we're all over the place. Or, you know, keep track and come down to a pop-up and say hi.
Brilliant. Lily, thank you so much. Thanks for joining us. Have a fantastic day, and I'll hopefully speak to you really soon.
Thanks for having me. Have a great
day. You too. Bye.
You've been listening to the Katie Ballmer Cook Podcast Show. Don't forget to subscribe, share, and have a great day.